It's Friday night. What places are you heading to for post-work happy hour? Tell us. This podcast is making a best of the best list and needs recommendation for happy hour menus at restaurants in KC. Text us at 816-601-4777. That's 816-601-4777. Standard texting rates apply.
Yesterday, the City Council unanimously approved $70.9 million in funding for the Kansas City Area Transportation Authority, KCATA. Bus and paratransit rides will be kept at zero fare for at least another year, after the city's commitment to that concept appeared to waver in recent months because of concerns over cost. Zero fare was first implemented in 2020 for Ride KC buses within the city limits and suburbs contracted with KCATA. The contract will expire on April 30th next year, at which point the city and KCATA will reevaluate if zero fares will continue or if fares will be reinstated for some riders. City Manager Brian Platt has been instructed to examine the costs and benefits of zero fare compared to this alternative, functional free fare. Today, our host Steve Kraske is joined by 6th District City Councilman Jonathan Duncan, KCATA's Chief Mobility and Strategy Officer Tyler Means, and Sunrise Movement KC organizer Mahareen Ansari.
The Sunrise Movement is primarily a group focused on climate action. Besides the fact that public transit produces less carbon emissions than individual cars, why has your organization advocated so passionately for zero fare?
So a lot of our organizers within Sunrise are partial, are fully reliant on the buses. And we see the buses as a way of like economic mobility for people. I mean, we understand the buses as a way to get less cars on the road, less emissions, but it's also a way that like a lot of poor and working class people are able to access things like doctors and their work and groceries.
Yeah. You know, you guys have been so vocal about your support for zero fare. Your group showed up to protest back in December at the Board of Commissioners hearing where fare renewals were being discussed. Why has this process of advocating for zero fare, what does it look like over the past few months?
It has been really difficult, I will say. I feel like there has been so much that has come out showing the benefits of zero fare, has shown how favorable zero fare is. I think over, like, I think it's 93% of riders who were surveyed by KCATA actually showed that they like zero fare, that zero fare is something that they want to have. And we have continued to get pushback from it. We have, I mean, like you said, like there have been so many talks about taking away zero fare, even though there's so much that's come out that it's like it's beneficial.
Well, Tyler, you told our intern, Lauren Texter, that public transportation is a public service and that it needs to be funded like one. Now that zero fare has been re-implemented for yet another year, where do you see that funding coming from here?
That's a great question, Steve. What we kind of see on the horizon is we see that our federal money has eradicated. We see that the reserves from the city's 3/8-cent sales tax that we have will now be gone, exhausted after this year. So we're seeing a sizable gap. We're being instructed to internally really look at county-style transport funding, going to look at private funding opportunities, really looking at investments that we can find to bring money in. But there's a big gap of almost $30 million that we may be looking at next year.
Private funding, what does that look like? Going to the private sector and say, would you help out with our bus system?
Sure, yeah. Before we had the free fare programming, we actually used to program a lot with local businesses. Private businesses would actually pay us money to get fare for their constituents, for their employees, or for their patrons. And that money would accrue and allow us to allow free transportation for those individuals. We see this as a model we might be able to replicate on a grander scale.
But $30 million is a lot of private funding. That would be probably a bridge too far, wouldn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, Councilman Duncan, you supported zero fare, but the KCATA is saying that they'll have this $26 million fundraising gap by 2025 once the last of the COVID-19 federal relief money is spent. KCATA is saying that they'll have to cut services if that gap isn't filled. What's the thought process on your end to ensure funding at this point from the city council's perspective?
Yeah, Steve. Well, to Maureen's point, many folks, and particularly our poor and working class people, rely on the bus service to get to the doctor, to get to school, to get to work. And so when you look at zero fare and how that frees the mobility of so many of our poor and working class people, I think it's important that it remains. I think there's a couple questions that need to be addressed. And I think, you know, what is functional free fare?
Yeah, what are we talking about there? This, I've never heard of this before.
So we heard about it this about the same time everyone else did. We had questions on committee and what functional free fare was. In our conversations in committee with CEO of KCATA, Frank White III, and Mr. Means, and others of KCATA, they said they also weren't aware of what functional free fare would be.
Does it mean that some poor people don't have to pay, but other folks who are of better off means would have to pay?
What it sounds like to me is just that, that it would be a means testing of fare. And I think when we look at what is the purpose of that, what are we trying to achieve? What's the intent of functional free fare? We still have a lot of questions. We know that if we were to bring back fares today, it would not close the gap of the $30 million budget shortfall.
Wouldn't that, come close.
Not even close.
Plus, it would be a bureaucratic nightmare.
It would be
it?
A bureaucratic nightmare. There aren't even the capital improvements necessary to add fare boxes to the buses today. And in our conversations with KCATA executives on Wednesday in committee, that is a $2 million capital improvement with some back-of-the-napkin math.
I was going to talk to you more about that in a few minutes. We're talking about adding the fare boxes back to the buses, basically, here. Aren't there federal dollars available to get some of that done?
There are federal dollars for capital improvements. It's going to be a time. It's going to take a year at least to implement those fare boxes. And at the end of the day, though, what are we achieving? Is this solving the budget shortfall? No. Is this solving the alleged cited security concerns on KCATA buses? No. So why would we bring it back? And why would the budget shortfall of KCATA be borne on the backs of our most vulnerable members of our community? And so when we look at how are we going to solve this budget shortfall, how are we going to solve these security concerns, what I'm advocating for is, first, I want to know what functional free fare is, so that we can actually start talking about it in real sense of
yeah.
terms of what it is and what it aims to achieve.
Yeah.
And then once we've identified that, then let's get back to business. Because for me, it feels like a distraction.
Well, but Councilman, you've got a real problem on your hands here. I think a lot of people can get behind the concept of free fares here, but a $30 million budget gap is a $30 million budget gap. That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money, Steve. And this budget shortfall didn't happen today. And it didn't happen last year. And it didn't happen the year before that. So it's unfortunate that, you know, this council is having to come up and scramble within a year's time to close a $30 million budget shortfall. That is where we are today.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right.
Steve, can I add a few points to that?
Please.
Yeah, so he's right. It did not, the council was right. It did not happen today. The budget shortfall, the cliff, the fiscal cliff, that was something that existed before COVID. COVID gave you the windfall to stay ahead of the game. The fiscal cliff was always going to come. But now we're at this precipice where we have to figure out how to fund this. And if you start to look at how the funding is done, we used to get the full public mass transportation half-cent tax. That's an additional $21 million above what we get today. That would almost close that $26 million gap.
Yeah. Explain, what tax was that again?
The half-cent tax.
Mm-hmm.
So the public mass transportation tax.
Yeah. Okay.
We get about 28 and change from that one. Another 21, because 10% is kept off the top, would put us at 49 plus the 41. With growth, you're in the mid-90s.
Mm-hmm.
That almost covers the entire gap.
What's happened to that tax, Tyler?
You have to go back about a couple councils where they actually changed the legislation from public mass transit tax to public mass transportation tax. And that $21 million or $28 million that we're now missing is being used for other purposes for transportation. $22 million of it over 2 years was used to buy streetlights, not used for public mass transit. So conceptually, it's being used for anything on the roadways.
Well, Councilman Duncan, is that your answer, simply put?
I mean, again, I don't believe that it solves the budget shortfall, and I think when we ask,
it could come pretty close.
It would come close to what we're receiving today, which is not to be very very delicate with it, is not a service that I think that bus riders are actually happy with. Right? We've had headwinds on our rapid transit lines that have increased right from 10 minutes to 15 minutes. Right, so we're not even getting back to the service that we had pre-pandemic. So, I think everything's on the table, but we also have to look how do we overall improve the overall service for our bus riders. I think what I would also like to see is more representation of bus riders in the decision-making process of KCATA.
Mm-hmm. How much support is there? How much support are you hearing about, Councilman, for zero fare going forward?
On the city council side, as you saw with the vote, we have broad support on city council to keep free fare. And talking with bus riders, and I have talked with bus riders, it is a freeing mobility. You get on the bus and you think about, you know, I know a lot is being talked about the World Cup. This service is for our riders today, but the same challenges of the people that would be entering our city to access our bus lines and to get around the city are the same access issues that, you know, our folks who do not speak English as a first language are going to experience. And right now, all you have to do is get on the bus and then get where you need to go.
Yeah.
And so I think we would be doing a grave disservice to our residents if we were to scrap free fare. On the city council side, I think you heard it in the resounding vote and the positive to keep free fare. We want to keep free fare. But everything's on the table to ensure that we do not cut bus service for our residents.
We'll get back to Steve's conversation about zero fare buses in just a moment.
You listen to this podcast every day because it's your KC local reliable news source. You take us seriously. But you know, we like to get down and we want you to party with us. Join us at our annual benefit Radioactive on June 14th. NPR's All Things Considered host Ari Shapiro is the featured guest at this party, and it's gonna be bumping. You gotta be there. Sponsorship packages and ticket information are available at kcur.org/radioactive.
Now, Tyler, is there any downside from your standpoint to free fare?
The really only downside, I'm not against free fare. I'm not for it or against it. I just want to be sustainable.
Sure.
The city has always given us $4.8 million. Now, if you use the $8.8 million we collected in 2019, if you use from our own study showing between $6 and $7 million being collected, it's never paid. It's freight. It's money that is just lost. So when I hear that I want more frequency or I want more routes, I want more coverage, that's money. That's more operators. That's more buses. That's millions of dollars that we don't have. We're struggling to maintain the service you have today, but yet you want more. Yeah. They're antithesis of one another.
Yeah. Maharin, is there any downside to free fare from your standpoint? Safety on the buses, those kinds of issues?
So I would actually make the correction of rather than saying free fare, I would say zero fare.
Right. The terminology is important to you guys.
Yeah, because I would say that Kansasians already pay two taxes that go towards the buses. We pay the 3/8 cent sales tax and we pay the 1/2 cent sales tax that Tyler just spoke about. So it's not free. We pay for it. We just don't pay a fare to get on the buses.
Right. That's fair. Pun intended there.
Yes.
Is there any downside, though, to free fare? I mean, you hear you have lots of people getting on the buses. Some of those folks might have personal challenges in their lives, and you hear concerns about whether the buses are safe or not going forward.
Yeah. I was fully dependent on buses up until a year ago. I finally got my license in a car a year ago.
What took you so long?
I just had no interest in getting a car or a license. I was like determined. Like, so I grew up in Kansas City. Like, I grew up in the 5th District. I like went to Ruskin High School. I went to UMKC. I've like lived here for most of my life. And I was determined to like not get by with a car. I was like, I will take the bus, I will walk, I will carpool, I will find any other way. Because I understood the emissions that, first of all, like cars give off. Uh-huh. And also, like, cars are so scary. Huh. Like, I live off of Independence Avenue and we have the most like traffic related accidents. And that's so scary. Cars are like killing machines to me.
Well, there's an older generation, as you well know, who can't hardly imagine what you're saying. We all are so dependent on our cars, but lots of young folks feel differently about it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I would say that zero fare, I think that before we had zero fare, there were still safety incidents on buses. So I would say that zero fare does not impact the fact that we have safety incidents on buses. I definitely like empathize. Like, I want buses to be a safe space.
Are they a safe space in your view? You've ridden in them a lot, it sounds like.
Yeah, I have. I would say they're pretty safe. I would say that there are definitely things that we can do to make them safer. I think one thing is like frequency of buses. I think that when you have folks sitting outside for like an hour, 30, 45 minutes, and it's like raining, or it's like super cold, or it's like super hot, they're going to be kind of agitated when they get on the buses. So faster buses, I feel like, is one way to like deal with that agitation. I also think that like the safety incidents that we're seeing is something that is happening around the country. It's happening regardless if like buses have fare or have zero fare, that they are dealing with these types of safety incidents. It's just something as a result of like post-2020.
You know, Councilman, is there something of a cultural clash going on here? I mean, Kansas City has been a car town for as long as I've lived here, by and large. And now we're talking about this new zero fare idea. Tyler is saying, hey, you know, he understands your concerns about the need for better routes, more buses, all of that, but it's going to cost a lot more money. This city hasn't been oriented, hasn't been geared toward spending lots of money on mass transit. And now we're facing something of a pivot point here. Is that what's going on? The macro view of this from 10,000 feet?
Yeah, 10,000 foot view. I would direct everyone back to the 3-8 cent sales tax to fund KCATA. That was passed overwhelmingly, and not just passed overwhelmingly in the 4th District and the most densely populated portions of our city, but also passed overwhelmingly up north. And it passed in the Northland, which traditionally would not pass such a tax. So I think we were seeing a shift. On the city council side, we're seeing a request for more street calming improvements. To Maureen's point, we have high injury network, specifically Independence Avenue, which is just saying is another phrase of saying that our roadways are dangerous. We have people who are driving too fast. And when we look at the rents year over year, Kansas City has some of the fastest increasing rents of anywhere in the United States.
Okay.
And so when you couple that with, to Maureen's point, the burden of a car, how much that's going to cost in not just paying for the car, but the maintenance of the car, tires of the car, gasoline, insurance, it all adds up. And so I think what people are looking at is how do we get more economic justice out of our city? How do we fund these things so that we're not cost burdened with a car, that we're not worrying about, are we going to get into a crash going to the grocery store or going to see the doctor when we have, we just had a report from KCPD about how many vehicle fatalities we had last year, and it's 102.
Okay, but if we're at a pivot point here, if you're saying that there are younger folks in town who are looking at this issue differently, then this is suggesting that we need to make a dramatic increase in the amount of money we're spending on our public transportation system. I mean, we're doing the streetcar to the tunes of tens of millions, and the argument always was, hey, that's one route. Is that the most efficient way to spend the money? But we've already crossed that bridge. We're extending the streetcar system. Do we need to think more broadly and more aggressively about how much we spend on our buses?
I would agree. And I would also agree that, you know, the city wants to be a partner with KCATA in developing how we actually achieve some of these things, how we achieve better service. In my view, I don't feel like I haven't felt, as a city council person, I haven't felt like a partner with KCATA and how we actually achieve some of these things.
What's the issue?
I think when to Tyler's point, we have 80%. We provide 80% of the funding to KCATA, but our on the governance board of KCATA does not reflect that same level.
How do you
of
change
governance.
That?
Well, it is a bi-state organization. I don't know if we have at the city council level the ability to change that.
Yeah.
But I do believe that there needs to be a better partnership between KCATA and the city of Kansas City, who provides 80% of the funding to the organization to make sure that we do solve these issues.
I can clarify.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
So we're formed in a bi-state compact. So we have 5 representatives from Kansas, 5 representatives from Missouri, formed in 1965, enacted in 1966 by the U.S. Congress. To undo it and change it would be an act of Congress.
Yeah.
Likely not going to happen in this day and age.
You know, to some extent, I feel for you guys, Tyler. I mean, you guys have been the punching bag of this town for a long time.
Yeah.
If I'm hearing you right, you're saying, hey, okay, if you want the system that you're talking about here, that you envision, you're going to have to spend a lot more money to get it. Am I hearing that right?
Absolutely. I know the idea of it being a public utility, and I agree with it. I've spoken on this at trade conferences. But for it to be a public utility, for it to be police, for it to be fire, you got to fund it like police. You got to fund it like fire. You got to treat it as such. And I agree with Councilman Duncan. I want to work with the city council members. I'd love to see an ad hoc member of city council members and KCATXX working together to lay out the trade-offs, laying out a 5-year plan. Not just me doing it internally and reporting out at business session or at TIO. let's come together and work together on it. Yeah. So there's a full understanding of what's being asked here.
Mehreen, are we underfunding the bus system in your view? Is it time for us to face up to what our dreams are and back that up with real dollars?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what the whole Better Buses for KC campaign is born out of. It's born out of, like, there are things about our current bus system that we love, like zero fare and the fact that we have some rapid bus transit, but we see so much room for improvement and we want the money to come behind that. I mean, we see where city council is willing to put the money, and then we've been watching, like Tyler said earlier, like we've been watching city council past councils like slowly defund our bus system. Mm-hmm. Like, what is going on with that?
Councilman Duncan, I'll give you the last word here.
Yeah, I just want to say I'll take Tyler up on that ad hoc committee. Sure. and I will add you one.
That's a great idea.
Then let's add bus riders to that committee as well.
I love it.
Okay. We're making some progress here. That's what Up to Date's all about. I'm glad to hear it.
That was Steve Kraske in conversation with Jonathan Duncan, Tyler Means, and Mehreen Ansari. Up to Date is a production of KCUR, and this conversation was produced by me, Lauren Texter. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next time.
Can we heal the environment? In Kansas, we're working on it. Up From Dust is a podcast about how humans reshaped the world to fit urban landscapes and agricultural needs. We'll meet the people who are rolling up their sleeves to find more sustainable ways forward. Listen to Up From Dust from KCUR, part of the NPR network.